McMaster's leg pounded, and his throat felt raw, drier than it had. His stomach began to rebel. A bullet was lodged in his thigh, and he had lost a lot of blood. He had no water, no food, nothing but an empty .45 revolver and a double-barrel shotgun. And resolve. And the Winchester began swaying again, making the silk scarf wave. McMaster's heart ached. And memories.
There is something you should know, hombre.
Yeah?
I told you that it was time for my siesta. That is an important thing in my country with my people. But I, Moses Butcher, the others, well, we can take a little siesta. We can sleep all day, all night. But you, amigo, you must stay awake.
I was sleeping just before you started talking, you damned idiot.
McMaster's knew Gomez spoke the truth and did not need to explain his veiled threat. John McMaster's was alone, wounded, weak, and growing weaker with every passing second. He counted what he knew of Butcher's men. He had more than just Greaser Gomez. 5 more. Total of 7, including Butcher and Gomez.
No. No, only 6. The 7th is lying spread-eagled near his bloated horse. And maybe not even 6.
McMaster's had emptied his Colt as he ran for shelter in the rocks and trees. He knew one of Butcher's men had been wounded earlier. So maybe that man was out of commission, even dead. And maybe McMaster's had killed some others.
Maybe. If...
Even if he had killed or wounded one or two others, there would still be too many. At some point, he would fall asleep again.
Or I'll just bleed to death.
Greaser Gomez waved the scarf briefly.
So, hombre, here is our, how do you call it? Moses, he told me. Truce. Si, tregua. Truce. Si. We will ride away. I tell Moses, I say, vámonos que me muero de hambre. Moses, he tells me to come up and parley with you. So this is how it will be.
The smile seemed to disappear in Gomez's thick, matted black beard.
We ride out down this trail, one at a time. If you break our tregua, our truce, then we kill you. And you will not enjoy your death, for it will be a long time before it comes to you, amigo. Savvy?
A breeze kicked up, and the scarf began waving again without any help from Greaser Gomez. McMaster's watched it, remembering, and did not look at the killer.
When we are gone, and all alive, we leave you in peace. That is our proposal. Do you find the terms acceptable?
McMaster's cold blue eyes locked on Greaser Gomez.
No.
I am sorry, hombre. For I am truly hungry and wanted to leave here and leave you alive. A man like you, so tough, so full of valor, I will not enjoy killing you. But now one of us, perhaps it will be me, will have to kill you.
It won't be you.
What are you
doing? Butcher was smart not coming up here by himself. He sent you. You weren't smart, Gomez.
The outlaw stepped back, waving the carbine frantically, pointing to it with his right hand.
Señor, hombre, amigo, do you not recognize this? What this means? Por Dios, it is...
It was a Christmas gift, last December. I gave it to my oldest daughter, Rosalie.
He tightened the shotgun stock against his shoulder.
Before you, Butcher, and the rest of you black-hearted sons of bitches cut her down. And the rest of my family.
Ah, maldita sea, maldito!
The Winchester dropped. So did Gomez's right hand.
Hijo de puta!
The revolver jerked out of the Mexican's holster. McMaster's aimed his shotgun. There were no hammers to cock on that model. It would be a chancy shot, especially for a 50-year-old man who needed spectacles to see far. Greaser Gomez had been more blur than features. It was why John McMaster's carried the Remington Model 1894 12-gauge shotgun with him. It was why he had loaded both barrels with buckshot. Remembering Rosalie. Remembering his wife, his sons, his youngest daughter. Remembering the life he had once enjoyed. John McMaster squeezed both triggers.